We're a dry country, and the one thing we can't do without is water, which is why one of the eternally contentious issues in this country is the Murray-Darling Basin. The Murray-Darling Basin Plan was an attempt to make some rules around water extraction that would let the river and the environment survive. That plan was spectacularly ripped up and burnt by irrigators, and the temperature of the argument hasn't lessened since then. A royal commission into the plan in 2018 found that the plan was actually illegal, something the government has chosen not to act upon. That made Richard Beasley angry. He was the senior counsel assisting at that royal commission, and he's expressed his anger in a book released this week, Dead in the Water. He spoke to Annie Haswell.
Like most people, I wouldn't know anything about this had I not been involved in that royal commission, had I not spoken with and called evidence from so many terrific scientists and others, including people that blew the whistle that were former employees of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority, that what's happened is a political stitch-up where the amount of water that goes back to the environment isn't close to being environmentally sustainable for our environment, doesn't meet our international obligations, won't protect and restore our environment, and where government agencies like the CSIRO have been pressured to say the results of the water recovery will be better than they are when they know they won't be.
This all goes back to the actual deciding of how much water the environment needed. So the Act is about the environment, isn't it? But over the years, there's been some pretty high-profile moments like the irrigators burning of the basin plan. And it somehow has been devolved into, well, no, we have to have a compromise between what irrigators want and what the environment gets.
Yeah, and that's fine if that's what the law said. I wouldn't have a beef. But that's not what the law says. The Water Act says, as a statutory fact, we have for a long time given too much water to irrigators, and that's damaging the environment. And as a statutory fact, it then says we need to stop doing that. We can't stop irrigation. We won't. It will continue. But just not too much, not so much that it destroys and puts in poor and worse condition our most precious environmental assets, including those we have international treaty obligations about. And it says science will determine how much water needs to go back to the environment. And when science did, they said it's somewhere between 4,000 gigalitres and 7,000 gigalitres a year that has to go back to the environment, which is somewhere between 8 and 15 Sydney Harbour's worth, to put some context in that. That was found to be, it might be the science, but that wasn't acceptable to irrigators or the irrigation lobby. And so politics drove the process after that. The figure dropped down this huge amount to 2750, which the CSIRO has said isn't within a bull's roar of being environmentally sustainable. But that's been lied about.
Your book makes it pretty clear, and you know, totally verifiably clear, that the Basin Plan is illegal. What can be done about that?
What can be done about it is you do it again. But look, there's two ways of approaching this. Either you do it again and you do it lawfully, then that's fine, and I'd be happy with that. The figure's going to be a lot more than 2750. Or if, as a nation, we decide we don't want to base this amount of water on science, and we don't want to save the Murray-Darling Basin's environmental assets, then that's fine too. But you need to change the Water Act to say we don't have to do it based on science. It can just be a compromise between irrigators and bureaucrats and politicians.
Then we don't live up to all our international obligations like the Ramsar wetlands.
You'd probably end up with a basin plan that was constitutionally invalid, because the constitutional validity of the Water Act, I should say, is based on that the Act will ensure, and the Basin Plan will ensure, that Australia fulfills its international obligations, because the Commonwealth Government doesn't have power over water in the rivers. If it fails to do that, then the constitutional validity of the Water Act is in doubt. And the only way that could be fixed is if the states, which I very much doubt, referred their powers over water and rivers to the Commonwealth Government, which is what John Howard wanted in late 2006 and 2007, but was denied to him by the Victorians at the time.
Your book ends with a really compelling quote, long quote, from Narrangeri elder Grant Rigney about what it means to have a river that works, you know, and the birds and life that is associated with it, and the Murray cod. But he does point out, of course, that the people in the cities just don't get it. So how do you get them to care?
First of all, I think it might be a start for them to know that it is unlawful. It's been subject of maladministration, and it's an unlawful waste of $13 billion of their money. That might get some attention. The other thing is, I think, you know, you've mentioned Grant from the Narrangeri Nation. The Aboriginal people had a very simple basic plan, which was don't take more than you need. Respect everything around you. That's their basin plan, which is a lot shorter than the 15-chapter or whatever basin plan we currently have, but it's no worse because it's shorter. And that's effectively what the Water Act sought to do. Don't take too much. Yes, take some. Grow some cotton, grow some rice, grow food and fibre in the basin, but not so much that you destroy the environment. That doesn't seem to me to be either unreasonable or radical that we would only allow water to be used for profit for the economy to the extent that it doesn't destroy our environment.
Your book is really frank, really funny in parts and angry, and you would have trod on heaps of toes, and obviously you had to get a fair bit of other legal advice in order to get it through.
I'm being defamed on Twitter as we speak by irrigators.
Oh, okay.
I was expecting that.
So what's been the reaction so far? I mean, okay, that you've just told me one reaction, but how do you think it's going to be received by people like the Murray-Darling Basin Commission people?
Oh, well, they put out a statement when Walker's Royal Commission report came out saying they disagreed with almost all of his findings and the basin plan is lawful. I would adopt what Brett has said about them to the Senate in a Senate inquiry and in the report that the senior executives of the Murray-Darling Basin Plan are, in Walker's words from the Royal Commission report, chronically unfit, close quote, to fulfil their obligations. That's his finding, not mine, and it was certainly one open to him on the evidence. So I wouldn't expect them to be ringing me, asking me for signed copies of this book.
Richard Beasley, SC, he was the senior counsel assisting the Murray-Darling Basin Royal Commission, and he's the author of a new book, Dead in the Water, published by Allen and Unwin.